Here we go now, baby. Right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Monday edition of Before You Bet. Aaron live right now on the coverage YouTube and X channels. If you're watching on YouTube, smash that like button right down there. Smash that subscribe button right down there. If you guys want to participate in the show today, it is very easy to do so. Just hit up that live chat. Let us know what some of your best bets are for week one college football, NFL futures, Major League Baseball. A lot going on in the world of sports betting. And it is first day of school vibes here for me here at Covers at Before You Bet for a couple different reasons. First of all, my summer vacation is all done. I was off all of last week. It was nice to disconnect for a little while, played a little bit of golf, got out to the pool. And more importantly, a bit of a new era here at Before You Bet. We are going 5 days a week. And starting today, this is a football first program, college football and NFL right through the Super Bowl. We have a lot of great guests joining us for football, covering both college and the NFL. Brad Powers for college football, one of the top college football betting personalities. He will be along here in about 30 seconds. Hitman, professional sports bettor, will be with us every Tuesday. John Middlecoff, a guy I love who covers the NFL. You've probably seen him with Colin Cowherd a bunch of times. And Jake Butt will be with us every Thursday. Then Brad Powers will be back with us again on Friday. But yeah, so we're going to be all over it. It is our goal to be the number one football betting program out there. But we're not going to leave you Major League Baseball fans hanging. We're going to be covering that right through the World Series, of course. And the NBA will pick up here in mid-October. So we are all over everything that is worth covering. A lot of people in the live chat already. Like I said, if you guys want to participate in the show, let us know what some of your best bets are. There's John Mettler watching live from Huntsville. Incredible. Absolutely. Let's go. The walk bets are fine, but football is where it's at. Yeah, I was getting a little tired of the nonstop baseball coverage. It is football season. We got a lot to talk about. So let's stop beating around the bush. Let's bring in our guy. He's going to be with us every Monday. Every Friday, one of the top personalities in college football betting. Brad, let's start by asking, how are things today in sunny Las Vegas?
Well, it's always sunny in Vegas. I wish it was always sunny on my bankroll. It was an intriguing week zero, to say the least. If you bet a bunch of dogs, you did good. If you're like me and got in front of a lot of big line moves, you didn't do so well. But it's back, baby. And for better or for worse, I'm excited to talk football.
Okay, indeed. So we're going to get some of your favorite plays here for week one here momentarily, but let's pull back and take a look at the big picture here with this being your first appearance of the season. So college football, you know, it seems like there's always stuff to complain about, that people don't like the transfer portal, the NIL. Some people don't like the expanded playoff, but let's keep it positive. What are you most excited for this season?
Yeah, I mean, obvious answer, it's the playoff. It's something new, 12-team playoff. How does it, you know, impact the season? Does everybody go all out? Is there a little bit of less sense of urgency at the top of college football? I don't know the answer to that at this point. But what I'm super excited about as far as the betting market is we have a new market. We have a yes, no. Will a team make a playoff or won't they make the playoff? I'm intrigued to see how many books keep it up throughout the course of the season. Obviously, you can have some buy low spots. Georgia loses a game. Ohio State might lose a game. Then for sure, though, let's go ahead and buy them at that point to make the playoffs. Not necessarily to bet them now at minus 600 to make it, but I'm anxious to see, you know, after a big win, maybe that's a time to jump on a team like Oregon. They beat an Ohio State and maybe jump on them in the futures market. So I just think the playoffs, you know, just because it's brand new, I don't necessarily have an exact idea how it's going to be handled, but it's exciting.
So, yeah, I like the playoff. It gives more teams something to play for. I think it does give the regular season more meaning. So a question I had for you in regards to that, we often talk about if a team will be motivated to win by margin. It's something that comes up pretty much weekly in your appearances here. So with more teams having something to play for, do you think teams will be more motivated to cover these big numbers and win by margin to get the quality of those wins up?
No, I don't think so. Not as much. Cause I mean, you just got more spots and just, I would say just win to get in. You don't have to be impressive. It's not like you're fighting for two spots or four spots. Now I'll caveat that. What I just said partakes to the power conference teams. The group of five gets one. And they'll be compared to all the other group of five champions and whatnot. So I think margin will be important for the group of five teams as they, you know, distinguish themselves from the rest of the pack, because there's only one bid for them.
Okay, so we're no strangers to hot takes or bold predictions here on the show, whatever in the hell you want to call them. So we got to ask, going into the season here, I know we had a bit of an appetizer here with week zero, but things really get underway this week. So what is your hottest take or boldest prediction going into the 2024 college football season?
You know, I think gambling related, maybe not a big surprise, but I think just general college football talk. The defending national champs, I don't expect to make the 12-team playoff. So to not have a defending national champ in a sport that doesn't have a lot of parity, you don't see teams go up and down too much, especially at the top. I think that's saying something, that the defending champs won't even make a 12-team playoff, meaning that I think they'll lose three and maybe even four games in Michigan this year. You look at the Wolverines, obviously they lose Harbaugh, their head coach. But not only that, but only one returning starter on offense. Defense will still be solid, but the expectation was they were going to have more continuity on the coaching staff, and Harbaugh just so happened to take more guys than they expected. So questionable coaching staff, questionable returning production. And then I think most pertinent to this year, tougher schedule. I mean, Michigan really benefited from relatively easy schedules the last couple of years. Not the case. I mean, by the end of September, they got Texas and USC.
Okay, let's talk national championship. We have Michigan on the national championship odds board, right around 10th there, 35-1. No shock, Georgia's the favorite, followed by the team on your hat there, Ohio State, plus 380. Oregon, 700. Texas, 850. A little bit of a drop-off. Alabama always in the mix there at 12-1, followed by Mississippi, 14-1, LSU, 20-1, and Notre Dame, 22-1. So who do you have beating who in the national championship game?
Big shocker here. I have Georgia over Ohio State. So yeah, I'm really going on a limb there. And reason Georgia over Ohio State, a lot of people think this Ohio State team's historically great as far as a roster goes. I think in certain positions, running back, secondary, I mean, it's really good. But the reason I like Georgia over Ohio State is the all-important position in college football, that being the quarterback position. I just trust Carson Beck more than I do Will Howard, the new quarterback for Ohio State, transfers in from Kansas State. And, you know, I trust Kirby Smart in a bigger game right now than I do Ryan Day. So Georgia over Ohio State, I think clearly the two best teams in the country. On the outside looking in, I mean, I like Oregon quite a bit this year, though, too.
Okay, so I know you're not a big-time futures guy, but just to get more of a sense of what you're feeling for certain teams going into the season, has there been any futures bets that you have placed? What do you love that's on the board or might not be on the board right now, but just to get a sense of what you like here?
Yeah. So, I mean, anybody who knows me knows that I bet volume. So I'm over 350 bets in already. So I like them all. I hope I didn't bet them to just for, you know, giggles. I bet them to win, but I'll tell you a few, the ones that I really like. Dylan Gabriel in the Heisman futures market is my favorite Heisman bet that I made. Ooh. And I know his odds have been cut in half, but I just think we're talking about, you know, obviously for the Heisman, it goes like this for me. Obviously, it's a quarterback award the last two decades. You got to be on a contending team. The average season win total, for regular season wins for those the teams, for players that win the Heisman, 11. So, you know, Oregon's season win total is 10.5. I, you know, kind of lean more towards the over there. So he qualifies. He's a quarterback on a contending team. And I think, you know, sometimes the storylines, Dylan Gabriel, if he stays healthy, is going to set the all-time career-leading passing numbers, whether it's yards, touchdowns, wins, games played, and stuff that'll never be broken, in my opinion. So I think there's a good story with Dylan Gabriel. A couple other things that I like, you know, on the Oregon side of things, you know, that I talked about the playoff market. I bet them minus 200. I know a lot of people don't like laying a lot to win a little, but them to make the playoffs, anything under minus 400 for me, it is good, because you look at Ohio State and Georgia, the two teams I like are at the top of my power ratings. Those two teams to make the playoffs are sitting at like minus 600 to make the playoffs. I don't think Oregon's that much further off those two teams, and they get Ohio State at home. So I think that's a little bit of a bargain if you can, you know, shop around and find Oregon to make the playoffs. Yes, to make the playoffs. And then finally, everybody wants to bet a little to win a lot. Probably my boldest bet in the future markets that I made this offseason. Texas State. That's right. Texas State, not Texas A&M, not the Texas Longhorns, Texas State to make the playoffs at 16-1.
Okay, I like that one. So I got to ask you about maybe the most polarizing team in college football. We got Deion Sanders feuding with the media already, making all the wrong headlines here. Now, you were one of the people got very excited about this team, obviously, early last year. You were one of the first people to really sniff them out. So what are your expectations for Deion and Colorado here this season?
Well, I took my lumps. I mean, they won a couple extra games than what I expected. But after, you know, the dust settled, you know, OBP, that was one that I happened to get right on Colorado fading down the stretch. You know, I'm going to be negative again. And it's not negative to what the job Coach Prime's done. He's actually done a great job. I've upgraded Colorado's power rating since he, you know, took the job a year and a half ago, more than two touchdowns. So on that, you know, alone says he's been doing great. Problem is, it's always relative to market expectations, and the market loves this team way more than I do, even though I think they're about a touchdown better than what they were a year ago. I'm on under the win total. If you still want to bet a win total, I like under 5.5 wins on Colorado, mainly because I question the depth, I question the continuity because the roster's overhauled yet again, outside of obviously Shadur Sanders and Travis Hunter. And then I also the schedule. That I mean, look, there's no surefire losses on the schedule. There's also no surefire wins. Look no further than this game coming up in a couple days. North Dakota State, they're only laying 9. It's not like it's a slam dunk win for Colorado. And when you're depth shy and every single game's lined at a single digits, I just think they're one injury away from having a disaster season, or one off-field incident away from having a disastrous season.
Okay, let's get into some best bets here for week two. Brad has two of them. Let's start with Kent State versus Pittsburgh. Pitt coming off a rough 3-9 season. Kent State was actually worse, though. They were 1-11 last year. Now we have Pittsburgh favored by 24 points, but you like a play on the total on this one.
Yeah, I'm going over the total, over 55 here, for two major reasons. Number one, Pittsburgh has a new offensive coordinator, completely different type of offensive scheme. They're going to run some tempo. Now, do I expect it to be a well-oiled machine in week one? No, but this is not priced like a team that's going to play a bunch of plays per minute. And then the second side is Kent State's offense. You go back to last season, Kent State's offense was one of the worst in the country. They had 0 returning starters last year. It's totally opposite this year. They have 8 returning starters. I like their skill position, particularly their wide receiver. So they have some weapons. I think they'll be maybe one of the most improved, if not the most improved offense in the country. So those two factors has me going over 55 here.
Okay, next up, UCLA, Hawaii. UCLA get off to a pretty good start there last season, but they limped the finish line a little bit, did pick up a win in the bowl game. Rainbow Warriors, one of the teams who were active in week 0, they beat Delaware State by 21 points. Let's not get too excited, though, because the spread in that game was right around 40 points. What do you like in this game?
Yeah, I think you touched on some of it. But first, let me just say, I bet UCLA's win total under and Hawaii's win total over. So I don't think I'm biased with this selection on UCLA minus 14. And I think it all goes back to last week, the week 0 game, where let's look at some of the other week 0 results and the impact on the lines. Florida State loses outright to Georgia Tech. That line against BC this week moved 3 points against Florida State. You look at what happened in the SMU-Nevada game. Nevada almost won outright as a 4-touchdown favorite. Well, their game against Troy this week moved 3-4 points. We haven't seen a big reaction to the Hawaii performance, and you're right. They won by 21. I'm here to tell you, as a 40-point favorite, that was a misleading 21-point victory. You looked, start of the fourth quarter, Hawaii's up 7, and one of their touchdowns at that time was a punt return touchdown. So it was legitimately a very poor performance. I'm not asking you to downgrade their power rating 4 or 5 points, but you have to downgrade it because it did not even come close to expectations, and yet we've only seen the market move a point. Give me UCLA. I'll lay the 14.
Okay, Brad, before we let you go, any general advice when it comes to betting these early season games for, you know, some of us casuals out there? Any tips for the bettors?
Well, general tip is, I know I just gave out 2 best bets, but typically I wouldn't be afraid to give out 5 or 6 best bets early in the week. I just think these lines have been out for 3-4 months. Now is not the time to be chasing a bunch of lines, in my opinion. So if you're looking to bet on game day on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I'm going to bet 10, 15 games. You can do that, but I'll tell you the games you should be betting: FBS versus FCS. There's 61 of those games where lines aren't widely available yet. Those are the games you focus in on, not these games, you know, Texas A&M, Notre Dame, where the line's been up for, in that case, it's been up since January.
Okay, nice little tip there from Brad. Okay, Brad, we will leave it at that. We thank you again for joining us. We will be back with you on Friday's show, where we will be breaking down the biggest games of the week. So we do look forward to speaking to you then. Enjoy the rest of your week.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. The man, absolutely fired up to have Brad with us all season long here. Still a nice looking board in Major League Baseball here tonight. Let's not completely forget about baseball. There's going to be some good looking betting opportunities down the stretch, and very excited. Shaping up to be a very good playoffs here in baseball. A lot of big market teams getting in, a lot of star power as well. So very excited about that. So with that said, let's break down the board here. Let's break down our best bets with our guy, the man with the sexiest smile in all of sports betting. Jingles, how are we making that? You have a good weekend?
Great weekend. Was at some baseball on Sunday. Wasn't watching the scores. One of those where you just kind of check into your account and you see some money there. So you're looking, I was looking good after a good Sunday.
Okay, let's. We have five total plays here. Before we get into those, let's take a quick look at the World Series Futures odds board with the calendar ready to flip to September here, the stretch run of the season. We got a pretty good feeling of who's going to get in. There's going to be some races right down to the finish line there, as there tends to be in baseball. But we got the Dodgers plus 350 to win the World Series. I have no interest. The Dodgers are always favored to win the World Series, it seems, and it's not really a good number. I think you could just, if you like the Dodgers, maybe wait till the playoffs get here, and you can find a better strategy to bet them. Then we got the Yankees plus 500. You guys know how I feel about the Yankees. They are a great regular season team, but when they get to the playoffs, they urinate all over themselves, and they end up choking. The Phillies plus 550. I like them last year. They did kind of urinate all over themselves in the NLCS. Let's call it what it is. I wouldn't be surprised if they get back. The Baltimore Orioles, 8-1. Astros, 10-1. Then you have teams like the Guardians, 12-1. And the Brewers, 13-1. Could you imagine the nightmare for Major League Baseball if it's Guardians, Brewers in the World Series? I think we're going to have a big market World Series this year. But I wanted to ask you, anything stand out to you on that odds board?
I am heavily invested. I got some better numbers. Pretty invested in Kansas City and Milwaukee.
Okay.
And a lot of it comes down to there's such an advantage of finishing 1-2 on the side in the league just because you get that bye. It's massive. And with Houston, I know you'll touch on Houston soon.
Yeah.
If Kansas City, which I think is two games back or maybe a game and a half back of Cleveland, if they can take the division, then they'll get the 2 seed and a bye, which is huge. And then in the same sense, Milwaukee, they're in a giant dogfight right now. The Dodgers are starting to pull away, but they're 7-3 in their last 10. Milwaukee is 2. They got Devin Williams back. I mean, there are some issues with the starting pitcher, but in that sense, I got them at 25-1 outright. They're down to about 15-1. I like, if I had to go in there, I'm obviously staying away from whatever it is, plus 290, plus 300 for the Dodgers. There's probably better ways. I mean, like, you could probably bet them just roll over 3 money line wins and get a better number there in the playoffs once they get to the second round. But I'd take Kansas City at 22-1 just because they could finish with the 2 seed.
Yeah, I like Kansas City. Let's get some new blood in there. I don't think outside of Twins fans, no one's foaming at the mouth to see the Twins in another playoff series. We're also happy to see the Tampa Bay Rays out of the mix here this year. But the team on my radar, it is not new blood. It's a team that's always in the mix there. Seem to always be in the ALCS. I think they've been there, what, 6-7 straight years now. The Houston Astros, 10-1 to win the World Series. Things really trending in the right direction for them, and they have been trending in the right direction for a while. Of course, they got off to a poor start. Now they're sitting here with a 4.5 game lead in the AL West. The pitching has been pretty damn solid. There's no, like, big-time stud starter in that rotation, really. You know, guys do have their games. Justin Verlander looked pretty good in his return, but he's what, 41, 42 years old now. Now, all that said, they're second in team ERA since the All-Star break, so the bullpen looks pretty damn good. Offense has been solid. Kyle Tucker could return here in a week or two, and of course, that team is extremely battle-tested. Our very own John Mettler, nothing better to do on his vacation here, apparently, in the live chat. It's a good question, though. He says, is Tarek Skubal Should Cy Young bettors be concerned about a decreased workload in September? I don't really think so. It's all what's in the mind of the voter, right? And I don't think a lot of people would really hold that against them. And how much of a decreased workload would it be? Are they just going to totally shut him down? I don't know what the plan is there. But any thoughts on that at all, Jingles? And, you know, you see guys in that situation, rookie pitchers and stuff like that, their innings getting limited. You think that will get held against them?
I think the scariest thing for those Tarik Skubal Cy Young backers is that he got beat up by the White Sox in his last start, and maybe they're looking at a performance issue. They're already talking about slowing him down, maybe giving some rest between starts in this spot, but a lot of it has to do with the market, and it's just Corbin Bernstein there, 12-1. I mean, if you want to hedge out, that's probably it. The number three favorite is Emmanuel Clase, the closer for the Guardians, so it's kind of his to lose at this point. We obviously did see Paul Skeens at, what, minus 5,000 to win Rookie of the Year, and that's kind of fallen apart too. But people still need to realize there's 30 games left, right? It's not like it's just two more weeks left of baseball. There's still a full 5 weeks left of baseball here, minus 2,000. Maybe you can get Burns here at 12-1 if you're really worried. But outside of that, I don't see anything else happening. And Burns is having his own struggle, so kind of could just coast and win it, I think, here in the end.
Yeah, I think it was like 2 weeks ago, and it was like, yeah, the season's winding right down, isn't it? Then you look and you're like, well, each team has 42 games left, so not really. And it's something I'm done complaining about this. I'm done complaining about it for the NBA too, because there's too many games. There's no need to have 162 games. There's no need to have 82 games in the NBA when the players are sitting out all the time. They're not going to change it. Because if they remove the games, then there's less money to be made. So I'm done complaining about that. But yeah, it is a pretty long season. I'm very much looking forward to the playoffs. One of the best two-screen experiences you can have: Monday Night Football, Thursday Night Football, Sunday Night Football on one screen, MLB playoffs on the other screen. I cannot wait. Very excited about that. Okay, let's get right into tonight's action, Jingles. Five picks between the two of us. We're going to start things off at Fenway Park, the Toronto Blue Jays are in town, and I like the Blue Jays offense here tonight. I'm going to go over 4.5 on their team total. A little bit of plus money there coming in at plus 114. So the Jays absolutely raking versus righties right now. Leave it to the Blue Jays to turn it on when they're completely out of the mix here. But either way, first in OPS versus righties over the last 2 weeks. They lead the league in home runs over that two-week sample size, 25 home runs. That matches up pretty good against Nick Pivetta. This guy's getting absolutely crushed. He's allowed two home runs in five straight starts, an ERA over five. Jays hitters have been pretty solid against him in their careers. And to bring it all together, the Red Sox bullpen has been absolute bullshit. 28th in ERA over the last 2 weeks. So I like the Blue Jays to score at least five. Nice looking number there at plus 114 for Toronto. Okay, Jingles, Mitch Keller taking on the Cubs here. What do you like for him?
Mostly the price, Joe. I mean, plus 145, under 17.5 outs. It's a big number. I really enjoy these under 17.5 outs of like the plus 130 to plus 160 range. There's just a lot of things that can go wrong and not get this spot. We saw the total go from 8 and 8.5. So that wasn't priced in early when we got this. And the Cubs have sneakily been a good offense over the last 30 days, ranking in the top five in slugging. Not a great average team, but can do some damage and maybe knock Mitch Keller out of a game. This is a guy who was good in his last start, but he allowed 15 earned runs over his previous two starts, coming off a seven-game high, 98 pitches. He's 6-4 to the under in his last 10. But ultimately, this just comes down to price. And at that big plus number, there's a lot of things, including injury, that can go wrong here in a spot for old Mitch Keller versus the Cubs. And it's starting to heat up. There's some 90-degree temperature, 95-degree temperature out on the East Coast. This one, not as hot, kind of 85, but we're starting to see some things heating up. After kind of a few weeks of 75, 80, we're starting to see those 9,500s pop up.
Ooh, baby. Okay, next up. Speaking of the Dinky Twinky Minnesota Twins, I shouldn't be dissing them because I need their help tonight because I'm fading the outs recorded total. Braves starter Max Fried going to go under 17.5. It's at plus 140. It was at plus 155 earlier, so we missed the best of the number, but I still like it here at plus 140. Because he's not in great form right now. Now, he stayed under this number in three of his four starts since the All-Star break, where he has a 6.10 ERA. Lots of walks have really prevented him from keeping that pitch count down. And the Twins are really good in two spots here lately. They're hot against left-handed pitching, fifth in OPS over the last 2 weeks, and they're pretty damn good at home. They rake at home. They are third in OPS over the last month, so we'll fade that out total of Fried. Fade Fried, fade Fried, fade Fried. There we go. Not too rusty here on a Monday after a week-long vacation. Okay, next up, we head to the West Coast, Colorado. A little inside joke here for regular viewers of the show. Edward Cabrera on the bump here for the Miami Marlins taking on the Rockies. A lot of excitement for this one. I'm going to go, who's going to Marlins-Rockies game in on a Monday? I'm going to look up ticket prices.
On a Monday. Go through what it is.
I'm
going to tweet those
out. I'm very excited to check out how much. You can probably get in for $4, but you have a, if you are going to the game, you have a bet that the people might want to tail here.
Yeah, I mean, Edward Cabrera is not a great pitcher. He's an indoor pitcher. He has an 8 ERA at home. He is going to altitude today, and I don't think this ever gets priced in as much. Obviously, total gets higher. Outs are priced well, but strikeouts are a thing here that do affect the ball at the altitude at Coors Field, and especially the first game within the series, which this is. So he's had less time to adjust to that altitude. And we're talking about Colorado. We know that they're one of the strikeout heaviest teams in all of baseball. 28% on the road. That's the most in all of baseball. They're 24 at home. A lot of that has to do with the setting alone. It's still the same team, but the setting and the backdrop and the giant field, the Coors Field is, really doesn't help pitchers at all. So I like this. This open at plus 120. We're seeing it as low as minus 115. So a solid number here. And projects for 4.88 strikeouts on just 81 pitches. So it's a short leash. And if you kind of like look at his strikeout percentage versus what his projected outs are, his under 15 and a half outs is minus 175, which is gigantic. So let's assume around 14 outs. So his six strikeouts to get this over represents 42% K percentage, which is a giant Spencer Strider or Paul Skeens number. And that's not what Ed Cabrera is. So it's probably going to be sweaty. Colorado stinks, but the market usually falls on these, and it should have some CLV, I think, by the time it's done.
Okay, let's wrap things up in Seattle. The Tampa Bay Rays in town. Ryan Pepio on the mound here for Tampa Bay. We'll be back in this guy. Going to go over 16 and a half outs for him, coming in at minus 110. So he's been back for two games. It is a small sample size, but like I often say, sample sizes have to start somewheres, and he has been sharp in those two games. A 159 ERA with a very low hard contact percentage. His pitch count is on the rise. The first game back, he threw 80 balls. Second game back, he threw 90 balls. Don't be surprised to see him throw 100 balls here tonight. And a good opponent here for him to have a good game against. Very light hitting for Seattle. 26 in OPS versus righties over the last 2 weeks of the season. Winding right down here. Jingles is going to be with us all week on the show covering Major League Baseball. But Jingles, let the people know what else you have going on this week and throughout the fall here. We're about to get really busy.
Very busy. Yeah, I'll be joining you once this week clears up and we enter week one, Monday, Thursday, Friday, here with Joe on Before You Bet, the Bat Release Show, MLB Prop Picks on Covers, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, 9:30 a.m. We'll be doing the Blitz with Derek Carty as well for every primetime game. We got that going. New article will get back started tomorrow, pitching edges for every baseball game, trying to find those guys who could be getting scaled back. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's going to be spots, and now's the time to look for them. Guys that are scaled back, guys that pitched 100 pitches in the last game, but they're only 90-pitch guys. Guys like Sonny Gray, who could get scaled back too in terms of just per start. Weather, there's lots of edges, and it just takes some time, so I'll be that guy digging into the time. So look for that around 9 o'clock in the morning, Monday to Friday, going forward here.
Now, do you think markets in baseball could get a little bit softer here with odds makers obviously being more focused on football, or is that bullshit?
It could, but in the same sense, a lot of it comes down to markets being offered, right? So, like, yeah, a lot of books will protect themselves by not offering markets. We're seeing the game in I believe the Chicago White Sox Detroit game. We're seeing two barely names that people don't know. The White Sox guy is making his first start. Teams are reluctant to open those lines because they don't know where it's going to go. But sometimes there's one book that opens up and you can hammer that and then go the other way. But if you're starting to see guys that are like full leash guys like Kevin Gausman and stuff like that, if you start to hear some information, maybe you can get to it. But a lot of the, like, exactly what Brad Power said, go find stuff that comes out early, not things that people have been betting at for a long time. And that works out with baseball lines. Bet your baseball stuff at 8 o'clock in the morning. If you're ahead of the market, you can finish with like 50 points sometimes in markets like strikeouts and outs. So set the clock, get the best number, and shop around for sure.
Okay, very positive live chat here today. People very excited to see Brad back with us twice a week on the show. We have one user here, Maiden Focus, over on YouTube, dishing out some picks. He likes the Guardians, +110 in game one. He's pointing out that Cleveland 27-10 versus lefties and 40-21 at home. Yeah, they've been great at home against left-handed pitching. And he also likes a player prop here, Noel, +170 to have two or more total bases. One for one, small sample size versus Cole Reagans there. He did homer yesterday and really good versus left-handed pitching here. An OPS of over 1,200. Okay, just to recap our picks for Major League Baseball. I like the Blue Jays to go over their team total of 4.5. Max Fried to go under 17.5 outs, +140 on that one. Ryan Pepio in Seattle over his total out total, 16.5. Jingle's got Cabrera. Strikeout total, was that under or over?
You gave That's out? An under, bud.
Oh, under 5.5. It makes sense in Colorado where you can probably pay $1.50 to get in. I'm going to go check out those ticket prices at the conclusion of the show, and I will tweet it out. Follow me at JTFOZ and Mitch Keller under 17.5 outs plus.
I'm also on your Max Fried. I'm also on your Fade Fried. I love it. There is a little concern about the weather. It's great for him coming out, but he might not finish. The game might not get finished, which sucks. And you could have one of those incidents where he didn't go 18 outs, but the game didn't get completed and the books are taking your money.
I love it when that happens. When I'm on the right side of it. When I'm on the wrong side of it, it absolutely sucks. Okay. If you miss Brad off the top here, you can go back and watch it if you want. It was a good segment. He gives a good sense of what he likes going into the season from a big picture perspective. But for week one, he did give out two best bets. He likes the over between Kent State and Pittsburgh. It's there around 54.5 or 55. And he likes UCLA to cover the two touchdown, 14 point spread versus the Rainbow Warriors. Okay, that is it for today. But we're going to be right back with you guys on Tuesday, right back with you guys on Wednesday, right back with you guys on Thursday, right back with you guys on Friday, because we're going 5 days a week. It is a football first program. From today right through the Super Bowl, professional sports bettor Hitman is going to be with us to break down some stuff in the NFL. And of course, like I keep saying, we're not going to leave you baseball bettors hanging. Jingles will be back with us. We will be breaking down our best bets for Tuesday's Major League Baseball action. Jingles, thank you for joining, buddy. We'll catch you tomorrow. Thank you, viewers, for watching. Best of luck with your bets tonight. Woo!